e la parola alla professoressa Lupi.
Grazie. I was required to shift from Italian to English, and I would introduce my speech with a special thanks to University Association of European Studies and its president, Professor Masha, for the organization of this event. This event is, in my opinion, very relevant at this time for almost two reasons. The first is that it is very important to spread knowledge on European Union political system, on EU as a political system, and political parties in democracy are one of the main actors of democracy. So students must be considered as a special persons who have to know about political parties in the European Union. But this event has a special relevance for the special time we are living. In a few weeks, all the students will go to vote for European Parliament, and for the most part of them, for the first time. So it's very, very relevant to have awareness, to have cautiousness on how the European election is for the European civil society. It's very important to spread the idea that European Union is, the European elections are not second-order national election, as they are already perceived, but we have European stakes. We have European interests, special arena, in which each political party will be requested to represent interests. So thanks, Professor Masha, because this special topic in this specific time is the right initiative at the right time. I am a political scientist, so I will approach the topic of political parties from a perspective of political science, and my topic today is a party system without a party government in the European Union. That's my question. This is the question I'm trying to debate with all of you. Since the Treaty on European Union in 1992, political parties at European level have been recognized as an important actor for integration within the European Union. The Nice Treaty reaffirmed the relevance of the European parties by authorizing the Council to lay down regulation on European parties with special regard to those rules governing the financing of the European party at European level. The Lisbon Treaty stipulates, as Professor Nyesotto stressed, that the Union shall be founded on representative democracy, and in particular, Lisbon Treaty states that political parties at European level contribute to forming European political awareness and to expressing the will of citizens of the Union. But are these treaty provisions merely aspirational, or do party politics really have a role in the European Union political system? It is fruitful to debate this question starting from two different perspectives. The first is the actual ability, the actual capacity of political party to be an effective actor of interest representation, of citizens' interest representation. The second perspective is related to the ability of the political party to have an effective role in the actual institutional design of the European Union political system. Starting from the first perspective, traditional a party system is a central feature of democratic political systems. A party system is basically centered on two essential elements. The organization, it means the existence of internally organized political parties, and second, competition. It means parties with competing agendas. In recent years, it has become increasingly difficult to maintain that the party system in European countries are stable, and that they reflect the classical societal cleavages, as Steinrock and theorized some years ago. Several European democracies had led to growing voter apathy or alienation or protest votes. This phenomena could have several explanations. For example, the erosion of traditional boundaries from the late 70s, which caused the weakening of formerly high distinctive collective identities, and therefore the ideological and political distinctiveness of parties became rather blurred. A second motivation should be that since the middle of the 90s, several parties have changed their internal organization, moving towards a more office-seeking model with a decreasing ideological distinctiveness. A third explanation should be the rising of a different logic in political parties' behavior. In several European democratic systems, parties are colluding rather than competing. If parties collude rather than compete, voters' choice are not translated effectively into political leadership and or policy outcomes. For these and other reasons, apparently, the linkage role of parties between civil society and policy makers retrenched, as demonstrated by data on the fast decline of party membership in European democracy, and the rise of feeling against politics, against political parties across Europe. Nevertheless, any other political actor is emerged to replace political parties as interlinkage between civil society and state, between civil society and policy makers. It is not surprising then that many scholars of the so-called democratic deficit of the European Union needs that European Union needs a competitive party systems in order to be effective and democratic at the same time. In 1978, a scholar, David Marcan, argued that the emerging pan-European polity could be democratic only if the basic structure of the European Union politics shifts from the Europe des Patries, basically organized around national identities and governments, towards Europe des Partis, organized around a party system. Political parties contribute to the agency and the structure of the European Union since its outset. Access to the European Parliament, to the European Council, to the Council of Ministers, and ever the College of the Commissioners is for the most part only via a career in national parties. But the question is, has the Union its own party systems? What is a genuine European Union party system? It should be a party system able to represent the EU-specific cleavages and EU-specific interests and topics in the European Parliament. And if the genuine European party system exists, it is valid to link society to decision makers at European level, to link European voters to the European Union decision makers. To the first question, the existence of a genuine party European party system, scholars tried to reply by theorizing basically indicators on the so-called institutionalization of party system in the European Union. And cohesion of vote and transnational composition are two of the most widespread variables measuring the ability of the party groups in European Parliament to represent European voters. In that, to behave in a cohesive way so that voting would be driven by transnational party memberships instead of national affiliation. This dimension is related to the existence of a EU party system, and researchers and data collected thus far seems to confirm that an EU party system does exist. The result of data analysis shows that the three main transnational parties, Socialist, Popular and Liberals, are relatively cohesive party organizations. Even if the parties in the European Parliament are less cohesive than in the parties in the Member States' Parliament with a parliamentary system, nevertheless, they are more cohesive than, for example, in the EU's parliament, in the Americans' parliament, as showed by Simon Hicks. Moreover, the general trend in party cohesion has been upwards, as showed by several researchers from Atina, for example, or from Raunio or Hicks and Lord. Even if the level of cohesion is not the same for all the parties, with the main three groups which have an higher value than the extreme parties. Nevertheless, the level of cohesion vote at the European Parliament is enough high to say that the European party system is a cohesive party, has a cohesive behavior of vote inside the Parliament. Simon Hicks defined the European party system in the European Parliament as a 2+ several model, where politics in the European Parliament is dominated by the main groups, the two main groups, on the centre-left and the centre-right, with almost 70% of the seats between them. And 4 or 5 smaller groups fill the gaps to the left, right and between the two main groups. Also, the level of competition in the European Parliament is high enough to define the party politics at the European Parliament. Amy Krepel, an American researcher very interested in analyzing politics in the EU, indicated that the two main parties vote together on EU, so they have not competing agenda, on the institutional issues, but they compete, they have competing agenda on economic and social issues, which are closer to the dimension left-right of the politics. So the two main parties at European level have competing agenda on social and economic topics. My idea is that a European party system so exists. And at this point, the second question arises. Political parties at European level are relevant for the government of the European Union. So, are they able to link voters and civic society with the decision makers at European level? In order to debate on that, in my opinion, it's very relevant to analyze the role of political parties in the actual institutional design, actual institutional structure of the European Union. The Lisbon Treaty has formalized the institutional architecture developed within and outside the treaty. The EP and the Council have been recognized as the two chambers of the European Union, thanks to the recognition of the former co-decision procedure as the ordinary legislative procedure for the large majority of the EU policy. At the same time, the European Council and its president sorry, my allergy is very high today, has been recognized as the executive institution with the role of defining the strategies for integration and the long-term agenda of the European Union. So, the Lisbon Treaty seems to have institutionalized a bicameral legislative system organized around a double principle of representation, individual voters at European Parliament and Member States at Council of the Minister, and a European Council which has the executive, the high executive power. In such a system, party politics and the party system in the parliament should be at the core of the political activities. But what is the core of political activity in a political system? The core of political activity is the formation of the executive. Moreover, the question should be reformulated. Do the European Parliament and the party system, the European party system, play a decisive role in the formation of the executive at European level? Lisbon Treaty and the actual institutional structure are not so clear about that. According to the treaty, European Parliament has the power to elect the President of the Commission and to give the consent and advice for the College of Commissioners. Such a provision seems to reinforce the link between European Parliament and European Commissions. As a result, we are living the most EU-topic-focused electoral campaign. For the first time, European parties nominated their candidates to the presidents of the commissions. A public debate for the first time has been organized among these candidates. And for the first time, the main topics of the EP campaign are focused on how manage policies at European level. For the first time, elections are fought not on national topics only, but on topics which must be managed both at national and European level. But I wonder if the Commission is the institution which has the executive power in the European Union. Will the future president of the Commission be able to maintain the electoral manifesto by implementing his programs? Is the Commission the agenda setter of the European Union? Commission has a central role in the European Union system, which go farther than its formal competences. It has an influential leadership role. It has the sole right of initiative for legislation. It is the guardian of the treaties. It has powerful rule-making powers in regulations of the EU single market. It is responsible for the execution and administration of legislation and budget. But executive power, intended as the agenda setter power, intended as the political power of deciding the direction of the integration, is not in the hand of the European Commission. The European Council possesses long-term executive power. It sets the overall political and legislative agenda of the European Union. Moreover, the Council of the Ministers is the main manager in the field of economic and monetary union, which actually results to be one of the most relevant group of policies inserted into the electoral manifestos of the European political parties due to the relevance of this topic in the management of the economic and financial crisis the EU and its member states are facing actually. At face value, if the Lisbon Treaty pushes from one hand the EU towards a parliamentary system, a parliamentary model of executive selection by attempting to connect executive selection to a majority in the European Parliament, and parties are competing for the office of the Commission President. However, from the other hand, with the same Lisbon Treaty, the EU has come close to organize in the majority of policies a system where four institutions are separated each other because none of them depend on the confidence of the others. European Parliament and Commissions are connected each other, but Council of Ministers and European Council are not connected with European political party systems. In my opinion, the actual situation is that EU seems to have a political party system without a political party government. Is it a sustainable situation? If political parties are organized to mobilize mass support, they must have a strong incentive to maintain the cost of an European mobilization process. European arena is to be perceived by political parties as a relevant stake. Generally, the most relevant stake for political parties is the power to govern, directly or indirectly. In that perspective, only the establishment of a genuine power to nominate and control the executive power in the EU should assure the persistence of the European political party system. In this perspective, European Parliament should control the election of the President of the European Council instead of the election of the European Commission. But it is not an easy task in the near future. National governments do not consider that as a valid option for the future. What is the future of the party system in that situation? We need an alternative to the parliamentary system, and the alternative should be found, as Professor Sergio Fabbrini stressed, in the development of the European Parliament towards a congressional role by reinforcing the power of this institution, balancing Council of the Ministers and European Council according to American model. It is a role of crucial importance. How to reinforce this power? For example, to permit European Parliament to control all those topics as European monetary policy or European economic policy or foreign and security policy, which actually have been in the hand of the intergovernmental institutions. In conclusion, in order to maintain the actual party system as the actual European party system as it is structured, a clearer institutional model is required in the near future. EU has two different options: the genuine parliamentary model, with the European Parliament controlling the presidency of the executive, and with executive I mean European Council, or the congressional model, with the European Parliament balancing and controlling not only the Commission via the election of its president and the Council of Ministers via the legislative procedure, but also the European Council. Moreover, it is needed to extend the role of the European Parliament, or by a parliamentary model, or by a congressional model. It is a matter of political choice. It is a matter of political choice by member states. And it should seem a paradox, because this political choice has to be taken by national political parties, since the majority of the EU member states has a party system with a party government system. Thank you.